Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday, September the 19th, 2012. Our condolences and best wishes go out to the family and the many, many friends of Larry Deaver, the four-term Republican sheriff of Cochise County, who died last night when the pickup truck that he was driving went off a dirt road near the northern Arizona town of Williams. The sheriff, who was 60 years old, died just 4 days after his 86-year-old mother, Annie Mae Deaver, died of cancer. Home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. You can hear our programs anytime, anywhere by visiting buckmastershow.com. That's our website. And the show is posted to the TucsonSentinel.com, TucsonCitizen.com, posting the program as well. And at the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun, their website, there's a link to our program. Their website is gvnews.com. We are live during the noon hour each weekday. Today's show, we will talk with Arizona's Director of Health, Will Humble, about, well, a variety of issues, including medical marijuana, flu shots, and the whooping cough epidemic that is sweeping the country. 30 minutes past the hour, Pima County Supervisors candidates in District 1 join me in studio. Republican Allie Miller and Democrat Nancy Young-Wright will be here. We encourage you to join in the conversation by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can also submit a question using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page, and that is Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. If you have a particular story idea or a particular guest, we'd love to hear from you. We encourage you to contact us. Well, the city of Tucson is expected this week to issue its first permit for construction of a state-licensed medical marijuana dispensary at a storefront strip mall at 112 South Kolb Road. Statewide, 27 dispensary license holders have been authorized to start construction. So far, none has requested a state inspection. Let's find out now what's going on with this medical marijuana law. Will Humble joins us now. Mr. Humble is the director for the state of Arizona under State Health Services. Will, how are you today?
Good afternoon. Doing just fine.
Well, Will, as you know, Arizona voters okayed the sale and use of medical marijuana in 2010, and the actual opening of the 126 dispensaries authorized by law has been delayed because of a series of legal challenges to the state's authority to allow the use of marijuana for medical purposes. What's the latest that you have from your office?
Well, we issued, back in early August, 99 what we call registration certificates for dispensaries in the various districts across the state. You mentioned 126, which the law authorizes, but we had 27 districts where nobody applied, and they'll have a chance in 2013. So we've issued 99 of these certificates, but those certificates don't authorize anybody to open. What it does is authorize them to start getting ready, and then they can ask for a final inspection. Our team would go out, and if we approve, then they would get an authorization to operate. But like you said, we haven't had anybody request that opening inspection yet.
And who does the inspection, Mr. Humble?
Well, we've got a team here. I have about three or four people that work in our dispensary program, and then we're also getting volunteers from our licensing division, and we license child care facilities, nursing homes, assisted living centers, and the like, hospitals. And so for people that are willing and would like to go out and do dispensary applications, we're doing some training for those folks that normally would do, say, assisted living to go out and do those opening inspections. I mean, one of the things about these dispensaries is we're going to have sort of a bolus of inspections this fall, or at least that's what we expect, and I don't want to hire up, you know, and then not have the workload over the long haul. So I'm using pre-existing resources, getting the training done to get the opening inspections done, and then we'll come down to a sort of a maintenance level after that.
I'm kind of curious, what areas of the state, you said there was some interest, there was not some interest in some areas. What were those areas?
It depends. The biggest chunk were on tribal land. So we had a dozen or so, maybe even a close to 15 districts, which were primarily on tribal land. And so we had no interest in running dispensaries in our tribal parts of the Indian country. So that was the biggest chunk. And then the others were either in pretty remote areas where there's not very many patients, or in jurisdictions that had really restrictive and challenging zoning. Like, I think we had an open district in Yuma. There might be a couple open districts here in the valley where the local zoning was I'm guessing that the local zoning was so challenging that no one could really make it happen that way. So, but that was the main thing, was the tribal areas.
Will Humble is with us. He's the state health director. Will, tell me, how many people do you estimate would need the services of these medicinal marijuana shops?
Well, right now we have in the neighborhood of, I don't know what it is today, 32,000-33,000 qualified patients. So, the whole idea behind the act is to get the qualified patients that have the registration card from us that are authorized to use medical marijuana to buy that at a dispensary, and obviously we don't have any dispensaries yet. So what's happening by and large right now is that a lot of patients are, growing their own with the law authorizes people to grow up to 12 plants, long as it's enclosed and locked, if they live more than 25 miles from the nearest dispensary. Obviously, as dispensaries come online later this year, that's the sort of landscape is going to change a little bit, and over time, very few people will be authorized to grow their own because almost everyone will be living within 25 miles of a dispensary.
Will Humble is with us on the Buckmaster Show, live line from the state capital area where he has his offices. He is the state director of medical services. We are ready now to go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Dimitri is with us. Go ahead, Dimitri. You're with Will Humble.
Yes, congratulations, Mr. Humble. It seems like the dispensary program is a well-put-together state program. Actually, it's a perfect segue because you were talking about caregivers. I mean, everyone's aware that there's, you actually probably have an exact number, hundreds if not thousands of these little caregivers operating around Arizona in houses and warehouses, et cetera. What is going to be done by the state, except for a letter saying cease and desist, to shut these down as soon as your well-regulated dispensary grow program has come into place? Is that going to be a local jurisdiction thing, hunt and find these warehouses? Are they going to be given, are you going to send out the address to the local authorities so that they can go check to make sure they've shut down? That's my question.
Yeah, that's a good question. So the way it's going to happen, it's sort of going to be a transition period over the course of a year. And here's how it's going to work. Qualified patients that are out there right now, all of them are authorized to grow 12 of their own plants, or they can designate that grow to a caregiver. And so the folks that are caregivers get their authority to grow, not by virtue of the fact that they're a caregiver, but because a patient has designated them to grow those 12 plants on that patient's behalf. And so the caregivers get their authority, actually, I mean, we sell a card to them, but they get their authority from their patients. And so as patients begin to live closer than 25 miles to the nearest dispensary, when they go for renewal of their card, those cards, if they, for example, ask for permission to cultivate, we will then say, no, you are not authorized to cultivate. And so by virtue of the fact that that patient is no longer authorized to cultivate, they can no longer designate to a caregiver. So the population of caregivers over the next year will dry up because the patients dried up on them. Now, there will always probably be some caregivers, but the only patients they'll be able to find are in sort of the rural and frontier parts of the state.
Now, I know you are the designated state health director. Do you have some personal feelings about medical marijuana that you can share with us, Will Humble?
Well, you know, I've always been skeptical of, you know, medical marijuana being a primary tool for managing patients' medical conditions. And the reason I say that is I'm a public health guy who's sort of brought up through using the scientific method as the way I view the world. And for me to be convinced of something, you know, works and is safe, I like to see, peer-reviewed sort of journal articles that establish the evidence. And there is some evidence for some kinds of conditions that marijuana can be useful, but my attitude has been and continues to be that for physicians and for patients, that what they really should be doing is, if, you know, when they have a debilitating medical condition, is to look at the full array of options that they have available to them in terms of medical management and treatment, and make sure that they're selecting the most appropriate, as a physician, that for your patient, you're selecting the most appropriate medical intervention. And so, you know, I'm not a physician, so it's not appropriate for me to say that under no circumstances is this, you know, appropriate, but it's really a sort of a relationship between a patient and a physician.
Sure.
What I encourage all physicians to do is to really, as they come across patients that are asking for certifications, that they really take a close, full view of that patient and make sure that the decision whether or not to certify that patient is one that's really in the patient's best interest, given the medical literature.
All right. We're going to move on from medical marijuana to flu shots. Is it too early to get a flu shot? Will Humble will stick around as we continue with the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique silk and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at CoxBusinessAZ.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:20 in this portion of the program presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Big day tomorrow. Free breakfast at the Hilton Tucson East, courtesy of Splendido. RSVP, please, and say you heard about this on the Buckmaster Show. The breakfast gets underway at 9:30. Call 762-4090, 762-4090. More information at SplendidoTucson.com. On the Buckmaster Show, live line is Will Humble, the Director of State Health Services for Arizona. I want to talk a little bit about flu shots, Mr. Humble. Is it too early now to get a flu shot?
Well, in a practical sense, it may be too early to find it easily because there haven't been that many doses that have actually been delivered to pharmacies, but within the next few weeks and probably the first couple weeks in October, you'll start to see more of your sort of Walgreens and Oscos, your pharmacy type outlets, with some inventory. And so my attitude is the best time to get vaccinated for the flu is when it's convenient for the person. The important thing is to get vaccinated at some point between October and January, but in general, the earlier the better, because we never know when the flu season is going to peak. And we've had years where influenza has peaked in Arizona. Well, in 2009, during the pandemic, it peaked in October. In general, it peaks in, say, February, but we've had other years where it peaked in, say, November. So it can hit any time between October and February, so basically the earlier the better, but the best thing is to get it done when it's already part of your errand trip so that you can sort of hammer it out without a lot of inconvenience.
Should you get a pneumonia shot as well if you're over 65?
So it depends on the pneumonia shot. Talk to your doctor about it, because for most folks, they recommend a booster shot for pneumonia every 10 years. So there's no real reason to get it more frequently than that, so it doesn't make any sense to get a pneumonia shot every year. But most seniors, the best thing for a senior is to get their vaccine in their medical home with their primary care doc, and that doc will have those records. It's hard to remember if you had a booster shot in the last 10 years for any kind of individual vaccine, but it's all in your medical record. So, again, it's a good vaccine to get, especially if you're a senior, but you only need it every 10 years.
What are you hearing from your sources with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention? Every year they put together kind of a vaccine, kind of a best guess of what they think the flu is going to be like. What are you hearing anything about the flu season?
Yeah, so they make the decision about what goes into the vaccine in March of every year. So the decision about what antigens, that's what they're called, antigens, to put into this year's flu vaccine were made back in March, and then the flu vaccine manufacturers sort of use that formulation for the doses that you see coming out right now and, into October. The best, to answer your question more directly, the best data that we have really comes from the Southern Hemisphere, and so I generally look to the Australian Ministry of Health and New Zealand and some of those southern and South Africa and some of those countries to see what the flu season was like in their neck of the woods, but also, and importantly, to see what kinds of circulating strains were out there. The good news is that the circulating strains or the kinds of flu virus that were circulating in Australia, New Zealand, and the Southern Hemisphere, by and large, were a good match for what's in the vaccine in your local pharmacy and in your doctor's office shortly. So what that means is there's a good match, and this year's vaccine should provide good protection. Of course, the wild card is, you know, sometimes a new strain will show up at the very beginning of a flu season here that sort of might have started in Sydney, Australia, at the end of their flu season. That sometimes that happens. Cross our fingers that hasn't happened yet.
You know, I've been doing flu season stories for many, many years, and of course, the perception is there's still a percentage of people, Will Humble, who believe that if you get a flu shot, you're going to get the flu.
Well, my dad says that too, and he's my dad. I'm a public health official, and it doesn't matter. He does go get the flu shot, though. He just complains that he thinks it gets him sick. I mean, if it happens, well, one thing that can happen is you can get a sore arm.
Yeah,
and I mean that's when you look at the side effects from getting the flu vaccine, especially if you use the needle kind. That you know you can, and I do get a sore arm sometimes if you. Key is to not flex your muscle when they give you the shot, but that can happen. For the nasal vaccine, you know, the vaccine that goes into your nose, that's a different kind of flu vaccine. It's called a live attenuated virus, and some people might get sort of the mild sniffles or something like that from the nasal vaccine, but for seniors, pretty much, you know, the recommended approach is to get the injection, which is a killed virus, so you don't get sick. I know people, there were always people that say that they did, and for those people, it's a coincidence, and I've given up trying to convince anybody otherwise.
Well, I'm going to get
I think some, you know what I think is some people use
one.
It for an excuse.
Yeah.
Some people say, I'm afraid to say I'm afraid of needles, so I'm going to make something up and say, I think it makes me sick, and that's why I'm not doing it.
Well, I'm certainly going to get one. Anybody that goes through an airport or gets on an airplane, I strongly recommend that you get a flu shot.
Right.
How about this whooping cough in the remaining minute or so, a couple of minutes? I'm hearing it's like an epidemic. It's the whooping cough outbreak in the United States is the worst since 1990.
Yeah. And here's the thing about whooping cough. It's called pertussis is the germ. But it's actually a bacteria, and that's the reason we keep having outbreaks of whooping cough is it's not a virus. In other words, when you have a vaccine to a virus, the match is super good. And it's, you know, once you get vaccinated for, say, measles or mumps or something like that, you just never need a booster because the vaccine is so works so well because it's a virus. Whooping cough is a bacteria. So it's more challenging to put a good vaccine together. And it's a good match, and it provides some protection, but the reason people need a booster shot for whooping cough or pertussis is because it is a bacteria, and you do need a booster shot, and that's why we continue to see outbreaks in the U.S., you know, because people don't follow through and get that booster shot like they should. The biggest problem we have in the state is with little babies, because little babies, you know, they don't have the full immunity from their vaccines when they're born. And in general, what we see are teens who didn't get their booster shot bringing home the whooping cough to little babies that they either babysit or their younger siblings. And so what we really try to focus on, our highest priority group for getting booster shots for whooping cough, is teenagers. Because they're the ones that we see in general infecting the little toddlers and babies, because they're the ones who might die from it. If a teenager gets whooping cough, it's annoying, you know, because the teen is coughing all the time. But unless that teen has like a underlying medical condition, it's probably not going to be life threatening. It'll be a sure of a nuisance. But for a little baby, it's lethal. And
yeah.
So we talk about the strategy of cocooning. In other words, vaccinating all the people that are around an infant, from grandma to teenagers.
Well, Will Humble, you're always a wealth of knowledge on health matters, and we enjoy having you on the program. And we'll talk soon, I'm sure, for an update on the medical marijuana. Have a great afternoon. Thank you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Will Humble with us on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, Allie Miller and Nancy Young-Wright will be with me in studio. We'll spend a half an hour talking about the Pima County Supervisorial Race in District 1 on the Buckmaster Show.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Now it's Mitt Romney's turn to highlight some videotaped remarks from a rival. He's pointing to a video of Barack Obama from 1998, in which the then state senator said he believes in redistribution, at least to a certain level, to make sure everybody got a shot. Romney told donors today in Atlanta that's not how it works in America. Small package bomb is exploded inside a kosher grocery store in a Paris suburb, wounding at least one person. The Justice Department's internal watchdog is finding fault with the agency's handling of a gun trafficking probe in Arizona that resulted in hundreds of weapons turning up at a crime scenes in the U.S. and in Mexico as well, the so-called Fast and Furious program. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 33 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront. Money-saving purchase options if you change your mind. And service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowland Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Well, today we begin a series of candidate face-offs here on the program. One of the most highly watched races here in the Tucson area is the battle for the soon-to-be-vacant seat on the Pima County Board of Supervisors as longtime Supervisor Ann Day prepares to retire from her District 1 supervisorial position. District 1 covers a large area of the Tucson Valley, including much of the Tucson foothills, areas in Marana, Oro Valley, and the community of Catalina. The two candidates in the District 1 race are with me in studio this afternoon. Republican Allie Miller is here and Democrat Nancy Young Wright. Allie has lived in Tucson for nearly 30 years. She has served as a Republican precinct committee woman and has been active in local politics for several years. Nancy Young Wright is also a longtime resident of Pima County. She served as a state representative from 2008 through 2010. Also, she served on the Amphitheater School District Governing Board for 10 years, including 2 years as president of the board. Allie and Nancy, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Allie, let's begin with you. And by the way, so we can cover as much ground as possible, I've got my little stopwatch here, so I want to keep your remarks to around a minute and a half, and I'll start to kind of give you a wind-up signal. So let's begin with you, Allie. Why should District 1 voters give you their vote?
Well, the first reason is that I have private sector experience in the business world, and I've worked in the aerospace and the semiconductor industries. I went to school here at the University of Arizona. Both my undergrad and graduate degrees are from there. And I am the person who brought the FBI in on Rio Nuevo. I spent a year investigating that, and I'm a person who doesn't go away. I make sure that I stand up for the taxpayers. I've been going to the Board of Supervisor meetings for several years and also to city council meetings, and when I see something wrong, I go after it. So I think that's what we need in Pima County, is someone to shine the light and make sure that we are rocking the boat down there to ensure that things are getting done the right way.
And Nancy Young Wright, why should folks give you their vote to you?
Well, Bill, the main thing I offer to voters is about 30 years of being a Tucson resident, 32 to be precise, mother of two girls who went through Amphi schools, started the Oro Valley Parks Board, worked for park equipment, worked for open space issues, neighborhood issues, stood up for neighborhoods, and a number of critical rezoning issues, especially in Oro Valley, having to do with shopping centers that were just too big. Served on the Amphi School Board for 10 years, where I helped clean up corruption. We had some really bad problems there. So when I left there, we had lowered administrative overhead, we had raised teacher pay, we had been the lowest paid teachers in the entire county, and we had lower class sizes, which is why I went there in the first place, to work on class size issues, because they were always so large for my kids. We were also successful in persuading the Board of Supervisors, I think it's 2000-2001, to get 70 acres of land for a middle school site from a developer up in Rancho Vistoso. So I think that's a really good accomplishment to rest on, that we have secured some property for the future.
Nancy Young Wright, we'll get this question, and then I'll give it to Allie as well. As you talk to the people of District 1, what is the number one issue that they want to see addressed?
Well, as I go door to door and talk to people, they're very interested in the economy improving. They're very interested in getting better jobs into the county. They're very interested in having jobs that their children might be able to stay here and work in. And they're also interested in preserving our natural desert, which is very important to people up on the northwest side. Our outgoing supervisor was very strong in natural resources and the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, and she was very strong in working for parks. And so I believe I share those same interest with her and same advocacy. People are very concerned about what will be the future of important areas like the Tortolita Mountain Park, which currently doesn't have the same kind of mountain park access as Tucson Mountain Park. And I think in general, people are also very concerned about roads. We've seen road sweeps from the Republican-led legislature, and in basic sense, they have balanced their budget on the backs of local people. And while I was there, I opposed those road sweeps. I thought those were really unconscionable.
Okay, Allie Miller, same question. What are you hearing is the what is the number one issue as far as you're concerned?
The number one issue is, again, jobs and the economy. People are very concerned about the fact that Pima County puts up very strong regulations against jobs. They fight any company that tries to come in here, and the regulations are very onerous. They have fought the Rosemont Mine for 5 years. And they are abiding by the rules, and as long as they do abide by the rules, and they're actually exceeding the requirements that are expected of them. So as a result of that, I think that we have the flag raised up across the country that Pima County is business unfriendly. CNN just did a recent poll that shows Tucson as the fifth worst economy in which to do business. So we need to change our regulations and relax those a little bit so that businesses can come in here and start working. The other thing is their children leaving when they graduate from the U of A. U of A should be a jobs incubator. We have one of the best entrepreneurship programs in the country, I know, because I went to school there. And we should be starting new business startups right here in Pima County instead of sending those all up to Phoenix. And I think the other thing that I hear a lot from people are about the roads, the road money. We had the HERF sweeps, but also the money that does go into the transportation budget is transferred out to pay off bonds. I looked into that, and I found $80 million in the past 5 years has been transferred out to pay off bonds. Now, just because we can do that doesn't mean we should do that. I think we need to be putting the money to the roads.
That's Allie Miller, and Allie gets the next question as well. And both of you, Nancy Young-Wright and Allie Miller, have brought up environment here in the last few moments. So let's talk about Rosemont Mine. Allie Miller, are you 100% backing the Rosemont Mine?
I do back excuse me, I've got allergies today. I do back the Rosemont Mine.
You're not alone with the allergies.
As long as they are in compliance with state and federal laws, they should be able to get their permits. We should not be able to pull back on our law, our rules, and change the rules for each individual company that comes in here. This uncertainty is what is killing our business community. People want it. Businesses from the outside looking to come here see these lawsuits filed, and it's been 5 years for Rosemont to get up and running. And as long as they see that kind of a hostile environment, they are not going to come here to do business. So we need to do better. And the Rosemont Mine, they have exceeded the requirements, as I said. And we have two other mining companies, Asarco, and they're looking at expanding operations as well. So I am definitely pro-Rosemont Mine. I have been for 3 years. I went out and toured it 3 times. And anyone that hasn't toured it really needs to go out and look at the 21st century technology that they're using.
Nancy Young-Wright on Rosemont Mine.
Yeah, I think there's a real clear contrast here in our positions. I, too, have gone out there, but not on a company propaganda tour. I stood there myself and looked at it, and that mountain will be buried alive in tailings. The risk that really bothers me is the risk to our water. The groundwaters for Tucson come from Davidson Canyon right through that area, and if they're contaminated with heavy metals, arsenic, I don't think this foreign company called Augusta, who's never actually mined anything, they just come in and get the entitlements and sell it, I don't think they'll be around to clean anything up. There was a recent movie that was filmed in Tucson that talked about their mess they left behind in Italy for people. It was a different kind of mine. It was a gold mine. But still, the mess was left for the people there to clean up, the expense. Many people are not aware that we're the last on the line in the CAP water, and the water was over-allocated. It seems they've talked the people of Green Valley into trading their groundwater for CAP water and that they'll bring it in. I'm not sure where they're going to get it, maybe from mines or agriculture. But there's also the mines' effects on small wells, individual wells. I'm from a longtime Southwestern family, a fourth-generation Southwesterner. We have 2 wells in our family that I registered with the state of New Mexico that have been in our family for 100 years. And I have heard them, I asked them directly, what are you going to do for those small well owners out there? Because I'm sure there's people just like me who have been there forever. And they said, we're going to offer them an insurance policy. Well, that is very cold comfort to me because that can be discharged in a bankruptcy court. And I don't think the landowners there should trade off their groundwater for some piece of paper.
You are listening to a political face-off here on the Buckmaster Show. Nancy Young Wright, Democrat, and Allie Miller, Republican. Both of these ladies want your vote in District 1, Pima County Supervisors. We're going to take our break right here. We will return. Still lots to talk about with Nancy and Allie when we come back on the Buckmaster Show. So stay with us. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back. to the Buckmaster Show at 1248. This portion of the program is brought to you by our friends over in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. They've got a lot of fun going on this weekend at historic Fort Baird, which is just east of Silver City. They'll be celebrating their Civil War history and heritage with tours and speakers. More information, go to fortbaird.org, and Baird is actually spelled B-A-Y-A-R-D. Lots of great places to stay in the Silver City area, including Bear Mountain Lodge and Pinos Altos Cabins. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. We are having our Buckmaster Candidate Face-Off Series launching it today. We have Allie Miller, Republican, with us, and Nancy Young-Wright, Democrat, and we are talking about the District 1 Pima County Supervisor's race. And we begin now with Nancy Young-Wright. Nancy, let's use the next couple of minutes to set the record straight. Is there something that has been said about you or your campaign that you believe is untrue and that you would like to set the record straight right now?
Well, I believe that some issues have been raised that are from the past about the high school. And the truth is about that issue, it was very complicated. But all I was ever working to do was get the high school moved to a new site and get it built. We spent 2 years and $2 million in court, which came off of the design of both not only that high school but an elementary school called Painted Sky. For example, Painted Sky lost all of its windows in something called value engineering. But in general, campaigns are campaigns, and people are going to bring up whatever they think will stick. And I'm very comfortable with my record on the MFI school board. And if anything really was factual based about that, I wouldn't have been reelected with the highest vote amount twice. And three of the board members would not have been recalled in order to clean that district up. So it was a contentious time, but the public was really tired of corrupt land deals. They were really tired of nepotism. They were really tired of cronyism. And they were tired of overcrowded classrooms and just, they were also tired of not having First Amendment rights, okay, which we had to restore. So those were the things that really were going on. So, you know, it's a chapters, many chapters in a book.
Allie Miller, it's now time for you to set the record straight. Is anything you'd like to clear up at this point?
Well, I would like to go back to what Nancy said about the school, the Ironwood Ridge High School. They had spent $1.78 million on that high school and a couple $100,000 on consulting fees to get that school up and running. And then there was a lawsuit filed by the Center for Biological Diversity, which I believe you used to be a member of. And in the delay actually cost the district $3 million. And Nancy, you're quoted in several articles in here, and one of them you just said it was the, I guess they think the ends always justify the means, school board member Nancy Young-Wright said. I don't agree. I think they set a very poor example for the future. We needed that school. There were kids at CDO in overcrowded classrooms. They were in these modular classrooms. They were very hot for the students. And when you're in a community that's growing, you've got to provide the schools. And I know you fought very hard against this, and I believe that's probably the reason that you didn't get elected as mayor of Oro Valley when you ran against Paul Loomis. That was a very he won by double digits, and I think the people in that community remember this fight very well. And I've done a lot of research on this, and you were right in the middle of it, Nancy, and it shows clearly that you fought against this school for these kids and preferred the pygmy owl over the children. And when you talk about education, I believe we need to be supportive of education. And if we have a growing community, we have to have the schools. And I will support the building of schools when the community is growing.
Nancy Young-Wright.
Okay, where to start? I was concerned about the owl being in Honeybee Canyon. Had no idea it was ever at that site. That site was bought before I ever was on the school board.
That's correct.
It was bought without environmental appraisals, or we wouldn't have gotten into the mess in the first place. And I had a child in that overcrowded high school. I had two of them. And I don't believe you were a parent or at all involved in the situation, so your information is secondhand, with all due respect. It is secondhand, and anyone can say anything, but that does not make it true. And in regards to the Oro Valley mayoral race, I got into that race quite late. Mr. Loomis's reputation with the public later on was kind of changed, and he did lose later. But also at that time, we had a very contentious shopping center and a referendum drive going on. And I fought that because the residents, in fact, some of whom seem to support you now, did not want it. Unfortunately, they didn't know how to fight it, and it was a lot of money was put in by Phoenix developers to get that shopping center across. And the reason that I thought it was wrong was that I thought it would be wrong to pay a developer to bring a Walmart into the town. That if they wanted a Walmart, they could come on their own. It did, in fact, turn out to be a Walmart. We are, in fact, still giving them half of the sales tax in Oro Valley. They couldn't get out of that. So I thought that was very bad economic development. Okay. And in hindsight, you know, maybe it was a race that – but you go out and you try to help the people, and that's what I was trying to do. And I'll put my record up against anybody's for standing up to corruption, fighting for education, and fighting for kids. Anybody's.
It's the five-minute warning here. We've got about 5 minutes left to go. And now from our one-and-a-half-minute answers, I'm going to keep you down now to about 45 seconds so we can cover some more ground. Allie Miller, is there a question that you would like to ask of your opponent at this point?
Well, I'd just like to ask Nancy about some of her supporters. There are two very far-left progressive groups that have endorsed you, Emily's List and the Arizona List, and it's a very progressive left-wing agenda that they have that they're moving forward. And I think that you're selling yourself as a moderate, Nancy, and you truly are not. You went out on the limb here on the pygmy owl over children. And this is right out of the newspaper. These are right from individuals who are in that community, who had children in that community, who I have spoken to, who fought to get that high school built for those children.
Nancy, is there a question you'd like to ask Allie?
Well, first of all, I'll not have a problem with standing up for my record for women's reproductive health. And a question I do have for you is, would you fight against the county providing basic reproductive coverage for employees?
I believe
that far right?
No, I am not that far right. I do not believe that public sector money should be used to fund abortion, if that's the question you're asking.
That was not the question I asked, but may I continue? I do have another question. The
one question was it.
Yeah, well, one question. Do you have a second question? We can go back and forth here.
I would prefer closing statements.
Okay. All right. Why don't we do that?
If we're getting close to that
time. We are getting close. Got about 3 minutes to go. So actually, why don't we start with closing statements? And Allie began the interview, so now I am going to let Nancy Young-Wright begin with her closing statement. Go ahead, Nancy.
Yes, I think it's very important for people to know that I'm supported by folks from all walks of life. I do not have any independent expenditure committees behind me. Ms. Miller has three. One of them is headquartered in Maricopa County, and I think voters really need to ask why Maricopa County is involved in Pima County elections. I also think voters need to know about whether or not Ms. Miller believes in something as far right as Agenda 21, this UN sustainability theory that the far right has. And I have heard her mention that she's for balanced conservation, but I don't believe you can be and also not support impact fees, not support the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan. So I support those things. I think our community has gone through too many growth wars, and I would hate to see a regressive kind of mentality start to take hold in that regard, because we've been through all that. We've seen a way that's better, and we've taken that path. We're starting to move forward. We have seen that it's bad to let schools get overcrowded. It's bad not to have roads and parks that are adequate. And it's bad to make the taxpayers pay for the cost of new growth. So I am firmly in support of growth paying for itself. I'm firmly in support of the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, which calls out where growth ought to go and where habitat ought to be protected. It's very sensible. It's a nationwide plan.
Okay. Nancy Young-Wright, Democrat, Pima County Supervisor, District 1. Now, Allie Miller, Republican, Pima County, District 1. Go ahead, Allie.
Okay, I don't know where you're getting these three independent expenditures. I believe there was one independent expenditure that spent money on my behalf. And I would like to ask you why a Peoria union is supporting you in Pima County. They've donated to your campaign, and they're one of your supporters. And the impact fees, as far as the impact fees, I've been looking into across the country in depressed areas. They're putting a moratorium on impact fees to get businesses to come into their community. That brings in tax revenues. This doesn't mean a permanent ending of the impact fees, but we need to take a look at those and see if we can get businesses to come to Pima County. And the way we do that is by being business friendly. There's a community, a county in Florida who is doing exactly that. They are lowering their impact fees so that they can get businesses to come in and get them started and move forward to the future. Because if we don't do that, we've already got a reputation as of being business unfriendly. So we need to compete even more heavily to get businesses to come here to Pima County. As far as where people live, I believe the free market and individual free will should define where people live. We have zoning laws that we have to comply with. I agree with those, and we need to make sure that we're following those rules. But at the same time, I don't think that any one group should tell someone where they can and cannot buy land and build a home.
Allie Miller and Nancy Youngwright, thank you, ladies, very much for joining us. I think it helps to define the issues, having the two candidates face-to-face. I appreciate it very much. Good luck to both of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. That will do it for the Buckmaster Show. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services to your home or business. Coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon, 4 to 5, it's the John C. Scott Show here on KVOI. Then tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. That will do it for the Buckmaster Show. If you want to hear our face-off again, we will have it posted to buckmastershow.com this afternoon, along with tucsoncitizen.com and tucsonsentinel.com. All will have our show posted for your anytime listening. I am Bill Buckmaster. Thank you very much for the Wednesday edition of Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.